Hello again, everyone. This is Martin Zender. You know, we all want to know when the time of the end is. We want to be with our Lord. We're tired of the death and destruction here on earth, and we look for things to happen in Israel. We see things happening in Israel today. We see religious and political powers in the West starting to take control of the East. That's a huge sign that we're nearing the end. But the end of this age anyway, not the end by any means, the end of this age and the beginning of something wonderful. But I think sometimes a better indication maybe of discerning the times is watching Satan's opposition to it. Whenever God does something, whenever God is making a move or plans to make a move, we see the opposition of Satan rising up to fight it. He's always looking to imitate it. What he's doing in Christianity today is a case in point. He's built a false religion called Christianity that is close to the truth, but so far from the truth. And he does that in imitation of a work. Jesus said that the wheat and the tares were growing together, didn't he? Because it's a close imitation. And it takes a real discernment of spirit to see the difference between that which is soulish and that which is spiritual. The book of Hebrews talks about the Word of God being able to part between soul and spirit. And the Pentecostal movement today is a soulish movement. It's a movement of emotions and feelings and feel-good feelings. And this is mistaken as spiritual because there's not a heavy emphasis on the Word of God, on careful discerning of the Word of God, because that's not exciting. You see, that's boring. And we don't really need that because we're flowing in the Spirit. Well, while you're flowing in the Spirit, you're actually flowing in the soul, but you're not able to discern it again because there's no discernment in the Scriptures. So Satan touched earth in 1901, and I think that is really telling that this huge movement that has mushroomed, an indication that he's combating something huge that God is doing. And God's goal in this era, in this administration, is to bring the members of the body of Christ into maturity, preparing them to be snatched away together with Christ. And as this work proceeds, Satan is going to fight it. With what? With immaturity. He wants to keep people immature. And again, we see this parallel activity, God and an opposition of Satan. This was Paul's prayer for the body of Christ. It continues to be. I'm in Ephesians 4 and verse 10. He who descends is the same who ascends also up over all who are of the heavens, that he should be completing all. And the same one gives these indeed as apostles, yet these as prophets, yet these as evangelists, yet these as pastors and teachers toward the adjusting of the saints, for the work of dispensing, for the upbuilding of the body of Christ, unto the end that we should all attain to the unity of the faith and the realization of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the complement of the Christ, that we may be by no means still minors, surging hither and thither, being carried about by every wind of teaching. Wind, did you hear that? By every wind of teaching, by human caprice, by craftiness, with a view to the systematizing of the deception. Man, did Paul ever turn a corner there? God wants to build up the body of Christ and to make them mature, steadfast, sturdy like a rock. And he gives people gifts in this administration. He gives some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers toward the adjusting and upbuilding. Satan, to combat this, wants to keep people minors. He wants to have them surging hither and thither. He wants them carried about by every wind of teaching, by human caprice, by craftiness. Why? Because it's his idea to systematize the deception. In 1 Timothy 4:1, I told you that people will be heeding deceiving spirits in the latter days. Well, who in the world's going to heed a deceiving spirit? What person called Christian is going to heed a deceiving spirit? Well, they'll only do it if the deception is systematized. And Satan knows how to do that. He makes it into a system, a nice, neat enterprise that's fun and exciting. Look at the Greek word here translated systematizing in the Concordant version of Ephesians 4:14. Satan's view is to the systematizing of the deception. Greek word there is methodia. It's the root word there, method. And where did the Pentecostal movement hit? Among the Methodists. This is where the perfectionist movement came and the holiness movement. Be ye perfect. The mistranslation there should be, as I told you before, should be, ye shall be perfect. It's a promise of God. Ye shall be perfect. Satan turns it into an order, a threat. Be ye perfect. Boy, you don't think things rise and fall on a translation. They do. But anyway, look at this. Methodia, systematizing of the deception. And look, every wind of teaching, that's where this thing came from in Topeka, Kansas. It was a wind of teaching. Handful of Bible students. I didn't read that to you. Handful of Bible students in Topeka, Kansas. Some guy named Parham. And he was running a little school there in Topeka, and the first person, quote, the first person to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, accompanied by speaking in tongues, was Agnes Osman, one of Parham's Bible students. Charles Fox Parham was this guy's name. He had a little Bible school in Topeka, Kansas in 1901. And she spoke in tongues on the very first day of the new century, January 1st, 1901. According to a guy named J. Roswell Flower, the founding secretary of the Assemblies of God, Osmond's experience was the, quote, touch felt around the world, unquote, an event which made the Pentecostal movement of the 20th century. So you can believe that at the beginning of the 20th century, God was moving too and continues to move. But look, Satan wants people surging hither and thither. A beautiful picture of Pentecostalism, surging hither and thither, moving and swaying and dancing, and it's motion and activity. It's not a mature contemplation of truth, not at all. The Greek word here is a mouthful, kludunizome. That one word is translated here, surging hither and thither in the Concordant version, and being carried about by every wind of teaching, carried about. We're being carried in the spirit by human caprice, by craftiness. The word craftiness here is panorgia. It means every action. Those are the elements. Pan is the root word for every, and orgia is the Greek root word for action. Every action, every action, 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 action. Not only action, but every action. That is what Satan uses, craftiness. He uses that to systematize his deception. These evil spirits that blow across the land and form these religions, well, they have a pleasant face on them, and it's craftiness. It starts with craftiness. It's every action. I look up this word also, surging, as in surging hither and thither. You know, the dictionary says a strong wave-like forward movement. To oscillate violently, to oscillate. Praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you. This over and over and over again. Hypnotic-like. That's the sign of a cult. Read my book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. I got 19 points of a cult at the end. This chanting, repetitious singing is all part of this systematizing of the deception to keep people minors. See, I got to look at Satan's motive here. And he's fighting a move of God to maturity. And I pray to God that I'm part of that movement of God to bring people to maturity before the close of this eon, to establish them, to bring them people to a maturity, to the measure of the stature of the complement of Christ. And we do that by contemplating his word, not by swaying back and forth and looking for the next thrill, because that's the measure, isn't it? In Pentecostalism, you're looking for that next hit. It's almost like a drug. I'm not feeling like I'm in the spirit unless I'm feeling like I'm in the spirit. But feelings have very little to do with it. Now, they might be an expression of a move of God. I've been in this room before, and I have raised my hands to God. But it's not part of a corporate movement. It's not this gigantic rush of emotion that has no control, and that the participants, they're not themselves. They're cast to the ground. They can't move. They're laying on the ground, slain in the spirit. You won't find any of this kind of thing in the scripture unless it's the influence of demons. And that's what we're looking at. Let me close today with 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says, I'm jealous over you with the jealousy of God, for I betrothed you to one man to present a chaste virgin to Christ. Yet I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deludes Eve by its craftiness, your apprehension should be corrupted from the singleness and pureness which is in Christ. And this is the exact word here, as the serpent deludes Eve by its craftiness. Same word we found back in Ephesians chapter 4. By human caprice, by craftiness, every action. That's what Satan did. He distracted Eve with action, with motion, with movement. And she was corrupted from the singleness and purpose which is in Christ Jesus. And people today are being corrupted from the singleness and pureness which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, for if indeed he who is coming is heralding another Jesus, whom we do not herald, or you are obtaining a different spirit, which you did not obtain, or a different evangel, which you do not receive, you are bearing with him ideally. Paul is shaming them for bearing with anyone bringing a different evangel. That you have to believe in God or be tormented in hell for eternity, that's a different evangel. That's not the truth. That Jesus is the one who's going to send you to hell, that's not the truth. That's another Jesus. And this spirit that came to Topeka, Kansas, and that lit the fire of this Pentecostal movement, it was another spirit. It was not the spirit of God. It was an imitating spirit, the spirit of the adversary. Believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you. I'm Martin Zander.